Texaco Star Theater. The more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast welcome you to an hour of mirth and melody with Fred Allen, Kenny Baker, Portland Hoffa, the Martins, and Al Goodman's orchestra. It's Texaco time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, we bring you that master magician who, with a few magic waves of his tongue, changes an ordinary Wednesday evening into a night of mirth and merriment.
Well.
Yes, begotta, here he is, Fred Allen in person.
Thank you, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Jimmy, for that flattering, for a change, introduction.
Well, don't mention it, Fred.
I won't, Jimmy. I promise you. Give me my word, I won't mention it. Say, by the way, what was that irrelevant word, that word that crept in, that begorra you had in the announcement on the...
Oh, I just threw in a little Irish dialect. I'm trying to get ahead.
Oh, and you feel this begorra will advance you artistically?
Why, certainly. Why not? Last week, all Kenny Baker did was say, senor. He called it a Spanish dialect and Prado. He was acting in the sketch.
Yes, Kenny was in the sketch. Of course, any acting he did was purely coincidental.
Well, Kenny made an extra $5, and look at me.
What about you?
Since I started working for you, I've lost 10 pounds.
Well, if you try walking up to the microphone when the commercials come up, instead of racing Larry Elliott over here to get to the mic, you would still be buxom and rosy. What a pair of announcers you guys are. You both sleep through the whole show with happy smiles on your faces, each dreaming the other guy has got laryngitis. Now, pick up your begorra and go away. I have never...
Say, Mr. Allen! Mr. Allen!
Yes, Kenny, what's the trouble? Why, what's all the excitement?
Well, do you see what I see?
Do I see what?
Look in front of the orchestra at Mr. Goodman.
What's wrong with Goodman?
Mr. Goodman isn't Mr. Goodman. He's a phony.
Now, don't be silly, Kenny. It must be Goodman. No one would stoop so low as to impersonate Goodman. Say, Mr. Goodman.
Somebody is calling Guy Goodman.
See what I tell you, F.A.?
Well, I'll be... Who are you, mister?
The name is Fosdick Feinschreiber.
Fosdick Feinschreiber?
But tonight, for one night only, I am I. Goodman. By special request, I am making like an imposter.
Well, where is Mr. Goodman?
Tonight, for one night only, I, Goodman, is not disposed. I, Feinschreiber, am for Goodman filling in.
Why, it's uncanny. Do you know that you talk just like Goodman?
Why not? In night school, who is Goodman's English teacher?
You?
Who else? Yours truly, Fosdick Feinschreiber.
Well, I tell you, we're a little stuck tonight. Now, do you think you can handle Mr. Goodman's dialogue?
If I can lift it, I can handle it.
If Fine. Now, what about the music? Can you lead the band?
Don't worry. This Goodman is explaining.
You know how to start the orchestra, of course.
So fine, Schreiber, this is nothing. Goodman is giving me this little stick with full instructions.
Oh, you,
Fine Schreiber is slapping the stick on the stand. 1, 2.
All right. I'll try you out. I'll give you the cue.
Fine Schreiber is on top toe.
And with our emergency conductor, Fosdick Feinschreiber, poised, we turn to the latest news of the week.
Feinschreiber is making. 1, 2.
The Texaco News presents its highlights from the world of news. New York City, New York. Mayor Fiorello H. LaGuardia, reviving his anti-noise campaign, directs police department to rigidly enforce traffic regulation prohibiting excessive sounding of automobile horns within New York City limits. Texaco News interviews the man in the street to get his reaction to ban on automobile horn blowing. First, a traffic policeman who explains the automobile horn ruling is Officer Pierce Drumgool. What is the general idea of the law, Officer Drumgool?
Well, the mayor is trying to denoise the city.
Oh, I see. Is there a law against blowing automobile horns?
Section 48 of the police traffic regulations says.
Section 48 says what?
A driver shall not sound the horn of his vehicle except to warn an animal or a person in danger.
Oh, in other words, if I'm driving along and I see a man in the street...
You can blow your horn once.
And if I'm going along and I see a dog in the street?
You can blow your horn once.
Well, suppose I'm driving along and I see a man with a dog. Now, do I blow my horn twice?
Is the dog walking?
No. No, the man is carrying the dog.
You can blow your horn once.
Well, but a man and a...
Only the man is walking. You blow your horn once.
I see. Well, do you think New York has cut down on the noise any?
It certainly has. It's so quiet down by the Fulton Fish Market, you can hear a fin drop.
You don't say.
The mayor's given Long Island 10 days to get rid of that sound.
Well, tell me, Officer Drumgool, why is the mayor trying to get New York so quiet?
Well, confidentially, the mayor is expecting word from Washington any day.
Oh.
If there's too much noise, he's afraid he won't hear it.
That explains practically nothing. And thank you, Officer Pierce Drumgool. A motorist who resents the anti-automobile horn ruling is Lorenz Bumble. You are against this horn edict, Lorenz.
In the final analysis, who is it that pays? It's the motorist.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, a guy buys a car. The car's got to have a license. He pays.
Well?
Then the guy's got to have a license. He pays.
Well,
then he's got to take out insurance. He pays again.
I know.
If he drives too fast, it's a ticket. He pays.
Yeah.
If he goes too slow, he's congested traffic. It's another ticket. He pays.
Yes,
if he's standing still, it's a parking lot. He pays. Today, he can't even blow his horn. He pays.
Well, you feel that...
It's like I say. In the final analysis, who is it that pays? It's the motorist.
Well, do you drive a car, Lorenz?
No.
You don't?
Not no more, I don't.
Ah, you have given up motoring?
Thanks to my willpower and a certain loan company, today I am a pedestrian.
Congratulations on being on your feet again, and thank you, Lorenz Bumble. A young lady who has reacted to all recent New York City legislation is Miss Bianca Grissel. You are interested in the anti-noise campaign, Bianca?
Only as a source of inspiration.
Oh, I see. Well, what is your work?
I am poetess laureatess to the mayor, personally.
You write poetry?
I write only poems about Mayor LaGuardia.
You do? Well, how do you get your ideas?
I simply buy the morning paper, see what the mayor is up to, sit down and write a poem about it.
Oh, unique. Well, when did you start your municipal rhyming, Bianca?
I wrote my first poem the day the mayor was elected.
You don't say. What was your poem called?
Greeting to City Hall, or Pardon the Intrusion, I'm the Candidate from Fusion.
And you've been writing about the mayor ever since?
A poem a day. I've composed over 2,500 Mayor LaGuardia poems.
Well, what are some of the titles?
I Laid a Cornerstone I Know Not Where.
Yeah.
A Red Hot Rivet Flew from His Hand.
Very good.
My Sandhog Helmet is a Size Too Big.
Oh, yeah, excellent. But tell me, Bianca, what have you done about the mayor's anti-noise campaign?
As usual, I have written a poem.
And how does your poem go?
Hark to the hushing, from the Battery to Flushing. Silent and still is Manhattan. Girls and boys have stopped making noise. Jitterbugs have muted their scatting. Ashmen, pianissimo, empty their cans. You can't hear the purr of a kitty. No auto horn honks from downtown to the Bronx. All is calm and tranquil in our city. So hark to the hushing from the Battery to Flushing. We hope the mayor is joking. For minus its sin, its hubbub and din, you can't tell New York from Hoboken.
And thank you, Miss Bianca Grissom. Starting this week, the police department is going to test the sound volume of all horns used on taxicabs and city buses. When decibel limitations are officially imposed, instead of the raucous horns we have been hearing, like this, we will probably have automobiles chasing us off the streets with horns like this. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Kenny Baker with Maestro Feinschreiber at the podium sings for us Frenesi.
Some time ago, I wandered down into old Mexico. While I was there, I felt romance everywhere. Moon was shining bright, and I could hear laughing voices in the night. Everyone was gay. This was the start of the holiday. Was fiesta down in Mexico, and so I stopped a while to see the show. I knew that frenesy meant please love me, and I could say frenesy. A lovely señorita caught my eye. I stood enchanted as she won. Goodbye, and never knowing that it came from me, I gently sighed, frenesy. She stopped and raised her eyes to mine. Her lips just pleaded to be kissed. Her eyes were soft as candle shine. So how was I to resist? And now without a heart to call my own, a greater happiness I've never known, because her kisses are for me alone. Who wouldn't say frenesy?
Quiet, not so loud, brother. Quiet.
Well, who's making that noise? I was just complimenting Fosdick and Mr. Baker on their song. Oh, it's you down in the first row there.
Quiet, please. I gotta concentrate.
Concentrate on what?
Oh, my car's standing out in the street getting colder every minute. And if I don't keep my routine for starting it running through my mind, I'll never get the crate going.
Oh, you mean you have memorized the method of starting your car?
Yeah, it goes like this. Let me concentrate now. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, put in the key. 4, 5, 6, turn till it clicks. Yeah. 7, 8, 9, the engine prime. Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, press the starter, hope she'll go. Ibbity, bibbity, sibbity, sab. Give it up and take a cab.
Well, say, if your routine always comes out that bad, maybe you ought to stop concentrating altogether, mister. So what do you think about it, Larry Elliott?
Well, Fred, starting your car in wintry weather and driving under all kinds of road conditions does call for concentration. But why not choose a gasoline with flexible, surging power that makes your job behind the wheel easier, requires less concentration despite the weather? Try Sky Chief, Texaco's different premium gasoline. Sky Chief starts your car quickly without irritating delay, puts you in a pleasant driving mood right off. Next, you don't have to put up with that fussing and sputtering that engines often go through before settling into stride. And when you throttle down, there's less chance of stalling, less need for shifting. That means fewer distractions to interfere with keeping your mind on driving and your eye on the road. Yes, Sky Chief's smooth, flexible power helps lighten driving tasks. It's your Texaco dealer's luxury gasoline for those who want the best, yet it costs no more than other premium fuels.
Maestro Feinschreiber's a little busy, didn't want to turn around and take a bow. You know, some of those orchestra leaders' suits have no fronts on them. You'd think they're bashful, but it's really... But Maestro Feinschreiber and his ragamuffins of rhythm have just played Song of India. And now, oh, hello, Portland.
Hello.
Well. Look, I'm sort of... my rubber heels have started again. Look now, Portland. I'm so. Doesn't take Kenny long to get it, does it? Look, I'm so. I'm sort of busy now, Portland. If you could...
Well, I brought these for you.
Yeah? Why?
These pamphlets. They're from the motorboat show.
Ah, yes, the motorboat show. The annual regatta with the water siphoned off.
Mom and I thought it was wonderful.
Oh, well, you should have been there last Friday night when the mayor officially opened the show and threw out the first stowaway. That was the night.
Oh, it was exciting today. A man ran out of one exhibit and said a boat was missing.
Really? Some shiplifter, I suppose, was in there.
Well, I don't know. They sent for the police.
Well, good. If I see a guy walking around with a hot cat boat, I'll call them up.
Yes, I'm keeping my eye open, too.
Well, tell me, what kind of boats did you see at the show?
Oh, all kinds. Yachts, sailboats, canoes, and those boats with a name like Drinking Soup.
What boat sounds like Drinking Soup?
Slurps.
Slurps. Oh, you mean sloops. Sloops, not slurps.
Well, doesn't sloop sound like Drinking Soup?
Oh, no, not to me. Sloop sounds more like a plunger letting go. What other boats did you see?
Those southern sailboats.
Southern?
Those yawls.
Yawls, you mean? Southern sailboats, yawls.
Well, that's what I said.
Really? Your ears are doing your mouth a dirty trick. But tell me, how long did you stay at the motorboat show?
Well, not long. Mama got seasick and we had to come out.
Your mother got seasick at the motorboat show?
Oh, yes. Mama used to get sick every time the showboat came on the radio.
She doesn't like the sea, hey?
Mama can't look at two good humor men together.
Why not?
The white caps make her seasick.
The white caps on the good humor men. Well, why is your mother so afraid of the sea?
When Mama was a little girl, she lived on a houseboat.
And something happened?
Yes. One day, Mama's father forgot he was on the houseboat, and he went down cellar.
And he couldn't swim?
If he could, he didn't.
Well, no wonder your mother wouldn't be worthwhile to fish him out just for that line, would it? Well, no wonder your mother is water shy. But enough about the mater with the water for the pater. Who is our guest tonight?
Do you remember the young man who started the dog walking service?
I certainly do.
Well, he has a new dog service now.
What sort of a service?
You'll have to ask him. Mr. Allen, meet Mr. Nelson Eliskew.
Well, good evening, Mr. Eliskew.
Oh, good evening, Fred.
It's certainly nice to see you again. Do you remember when we last broke English here at our microphone?
Oh, yes, Fred. I was on your program about 3 years ago.
Well, time has indeed been kind to you, Mr. Eliskew. You look a bit more mature, and I might add, exceptionally well.
Oh, thank you.
Do you note any change in me? How do you think I am holding up, Mr. Eliskew?
Come,
man, let's face it. Does my head look like something you'd expect to see peeking out of an oxygen tank?
Well, your eyes do look a little baggy.
Well, it's nothing, really. My eyes are just putting on a little weight, that's all. But enough about little old bubble optic me. I'm anxious to hear about this new dog service of yours. Now, first, what is the name of your organization again?
The Canine Country Club.
The Canine Country Club. That's a swanky name, all right. And what was the original purpose of your enterprise?
At first, it started out merely as a dog walking business. But now we're equipped to offer a complete service for dogs.
What are some of the things you do for man's best friend?
Well, we exercise dogs, train them, and give them hospital care when necessary. We also bathe your dog or give it a shampoo and pedicure.
What you are really running is a combination Hound Union League Club and Beauty Parlor, isn't it? How many clients are you catering to at the moment?
We have about 50 or 60 regulars.
50 or 60. Well, does a dog have to show a certified pedigree to be eligible for your service, or can any old mutt get in?
No, our clientele is not restricted, Fred. We'll take care of any dog.
You don't solicit the two-legged variety of household pet, do you?
How do you mean?
Well, I thought occasionally a Park Avenue family might, hire you to take their playboy son out for an airing. Some of those cafe lizards ought to be walked around in the fresh air occasionally.
I'm afraid we don't go in for that.
Well, it might prove a lucrative sideline for you. I heard of one playboy who hadn't seen daylight for 10 years. And finally, one day last week, he had to get up early in the afternoon to see his draft board. Well, sir, he stepped out into the street and saw that big yellow thing blazing up in the sky and the light all around. He shook his head and said, "What won't those Democrats think of next?" I digress, Mr. Eliskew. What is this new dog innovation of yours you have installed?
It's our latest and most popular service, Fred. We call it Doggy Dinners.
Doggy Dinners? You have opened a collie cafeteria? A spaniel snack bar?
No. No, we prepare meals to order for your dog and deliver them freshly cooked to your door.
Canine cuisine a la carte, eh? Well, say that, some service. Do all of the animals get exactly the same meal every day?
No. Each animal gets a diet specially prescribed for him.
Oh, you mean Oscar of the Waldorf stops in and checks on the gastronomic idiosyncrasies of each pooch?
No. Our doctor prescribes the kind of food your dog should have.
I see.
We start feeding him according to the doctor's orders. Every 2 weeks we weigh him to make sure he isn't getting too heavy or losing weight.
Is the doggy dinner the same every day in the week?
No. It's a healthy meat and vegetable mixture that's varied regularly. One day we serve lamb, the next day beef, the next day fish, and so forth.
You never prepare a doggy dinner Chinese style, do you? You know, kennel ration chow mein, or seat of trousers fuyang?
No, Fred. Our meals are always cooked the same way, except that on Thursdays, when the dogs get garlic in their food.
Oh, I'll bet many a curbstone romance is broken up on Thursday. Well, this has been a mighty enlightening interview, Mr. Eliskew, and your doggy dinners are without doubt the most unique caloric service in the country today.
Thank you, Fred. They seem to be very popular with dog owners here.
Have you ever thought of catering for other household pets? You know, putting up meals called fishy feeds, or pussy potluck, tiger tiffin for Frank Buck, or mousy mess for Disney?
No, Fred. We just concentrate on our dog customers.
Well, you might go a step farther and branch out in the dog game.
How do you mean, Fred?
Why, you ought to start a flea service. You could put up a little meal called Flea Feast.
Why, I'm afraid it would be rather difficult to build up a flea business, Fred.
Why, it's very simple, Mr. Eliskew. All you have to do is start from scratch.
Oh, good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Mr. Nelson. Thank you. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Martins rush over from the Roxy, all made up, where they are, that's a nice coat you have on there, Hugh.
Thank you.
That coat? You know, yeah, you see. See, a coat will get a hand. You wouldn't give a coat a sleeve, but you would give a coat a hand. Well, these fancy coats, you know, you don't get moths in a coat like that. Butterflies are better, is the worst. But the Martins sing for us before rushing back to the Roxy out of breath. They sing Skip to My Lou.
Skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Skip, skip, skip to my Lou. Put on your Sunday go to meeting, and I'll take you by the hand. If you will be my dancing partner, we will dance to beat the band. So join the promenade and lead the big parade. And if you don't get home at all, your pa will understand. So choose your partner, skip to my Lou. Choose your partner, skip to my Lou. Choose your partner, skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, shoo, shoo. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, shoo, shoo. Flies in the buttermilk, shoo, shoo, shoo. Skip to my Lou, my darling.
I'll be glad to go with you, Prissy, do not tarry. But if I do, it's up to you, so let me dance with Harry.
Skip to my Lou.
Johnny.
Skip to my Lou.
Charlie.
Skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou, my darling. Skip to my Lou. Skip to my Lou. Partner, skip to my Lou. Lock my partner, skip to my Lou. Lock my
another one prettier than you. I'll find another one prettier than you. I'll find another one prettier than you. And go to another party.
We'll fly away to a neighboring state. I don't care what my friends say. We'll dance and sing till broad daylight and won't get home till Wednesday.
Give my regards to the doorman at the Roxy, kids.
Ahoy there, me hearty. First Mate Baker reporting, Captain Allen. Shall I reef the scuppers and furl the binnacle now, sir?
Why, Kenny, where did you pick up that nautical jargon? You sound as salty as a pretzel.
Oh, those are just some words I learned at the motorboat show.
Oh, were you down at the motorboat show, too?
Yeah. And boy, did I have fun climbing over those boats, weighing the anchor, boxing the compass, climbing into the cow's nest.
Well, not cow's nest, Kenny. Crow's nest. They don't have cows on boats.
This was a Jersey boat.
Well, the motorboat show... the motorboat show certainly made an old salt out of you in a hurry. Well, I guess that show's enough to make a sailor out of any landlubber. Do you agree, Jimmy?
Yes, Fred. Even landlubbers enjoy the sight of a beautiful boat. And there are literally hundreds of them, all of them new and the most advanced models, too, under one roof at the New York Motorboat Show at the Grand Central Palace this week. And here's more news from the waterfront. America's leading boat and engine builders recommend or approve Texaco marine products. And Texaco users continue to win boat races of national importance year after year. Racing boats, remember, put gasoline and oil to a terrific test. A test second to none. Texaco products are outstanding for performance on the waterways as well as on the highways. And the big Texaco red star with a green T stands for courteous service and high quality products, whether it looms up through the windshield of a car or over the bow of a boat. So next time, try a Texaco dealer. The Texaco Star Theater continues immediately after a short pause for your station identification. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WABC, New York.
That was so sweet, played by Fosdick Feinschreiber and his Feinschreiberolians. And now, ladies and gentlemen...
Mr. Allen!
Oh, now look, Portland. You can't keep interrupting by just sneaking around here saying Mr. Allen. Now, if you're coming on the stage and radio, it has to sound important.
How do you mean?
Why, before you make an entrance, there should be a fanfare or a door knock or something. You know, this program isn't out in the street like Vox Pop. We pay rent here. We can use the doors and windows and everything. Now, what is it you want?
I want to come in.
Well, go out and come in properly. Knock on the door like everybody else does in radio.
But I have something important to tell you.
It will sound more important after a good brisk door knock. Now, you just go out and try.
All right.
I'll begin again. And now, ladies and gentlemen, come in.
Mr. Allen?
Where did you come from?
From behind that door.
What happened to Portland?
I'll let her in as soon as I'm finished.
Well, who are you, Tubby?
I am the sound man.
And what is it you want?
For 15 years, I've been knocking on that door and opening that door only to have somebody else come in. Do I ever come in? No. Knock, knock, knock. Open door. Somebody else comes in. Knock, knock, knock. Open door. Somebody else comes in.
So?
For 15 years, I've been on the outside looking in. For 15 years, I wanted to see what it looked like on the other side of my door. For 15 years, I've wanted to knock, 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 open the door and come in myself.
And?
Tonight, I couldn't stand it any longer. Tonight, I did it. I did it, and I'm glad, glad, glad to hear.
Everything that is going to happen happens to me. On this program, a wolf at the door would be an improvement. Now, let me see. Where's Portland? Well, it's about time. Enough already. Come in.
I did it again. Again, and I'm glad, glad.
That guy's crazy enough to be head of an advertising agency. Now, Portland, come out here and keep away from that door. Portland!
Here I am, Mr. Allen.
And I'm glad, glad, glad you're here! Now, what? What was it that was so important that we had to get Orson Welles to play a sound man?
I've got some facts for you.
Facts? What facts?
The most powerful lighthouse in the world is at Navesink, New Jersey.
Well, I'm not.
It has 9 million candle power.
Oh, look, if I was a seagull and had a book, I might be interested. But I am not.
The nose of the Statue of Liberty is 4 1/2 feet long.
Portland, who is responsible for bruting this trivia about in your untutored presence?
Kenny.
Kenny?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how does Kenny suddenly blossom out as a dispenser of factual rubbish?
Well, Kenny's got a new job selling this year's World Almanac.
Still trying to pick up some extra change, eh?
Yes. They put him through a salesmanship course, and Kenny's cleaning up.
Ixnay, Ortman Pay, any case.
Mm-hmm. Hi, kid.
Hello. Hey, hello, Kenny.
Too bad about those people in Passaic.
What happened to them?
They aren't there anymore.
Well, who isn't in Passaic and why?
Since 1930, the population of Passaic dropped 1,618.
Oh, they aren't there anymore.
Isn't he wonderful, Mr. Allen?
Well, what's wonderful?
Didn't you hear about Mr. Hunnenberger of Switzerland?
I'm not interested. You almost didn't either, according to...
Who is Mr. Hunnenberger of Switzerland, Kenny?
Mr. Hunnenberger of Switzerland just happens to be the recognized champion weightlifter in the heavyweight clean and jerk class. That's all.
Now, look, I have a weight on my mind that Mr. Honeyburger of Switzerland couldn't lift.
Mr. Honeyburger lifts 115.5 kilos, clean and jerk.
Good luck to Mr. Honeyburger of Switzerland.
Now ask me what a kilo is.
What is a kilo?
Never mind, Portland. Now, look, Kenny, I know you're trying to make a sale. I'll buy one of your almanacs and we'll get on with the program.
Who's trying to sell an almanac?
Don't play possum. I know that you're selling almanacs, and I also know that you have had a course in salesmanship. Now, I'm just trying to save a little time. Come on, give me an almanac.
I'll take one too, Kenny.
Oh, now look, Porty. There are no two people closer to me than you and F.A., but I can't sell you the almanac right now.
Well, why not, Kenny?
Here's the money. Come on, give us the almanacs and the dealer's clothes.
No, you don't. There's no shortcut, F.A. You can't buy an almanac until I get to step 4.
And when do you get to step 4?
After step 3.
That's logical.
Quiet, quiet, Portland. Better you shouldn't have said it at all. Now, what is all this, Kenny?
Well, my salesmanship coach said there are 5 steps to selling an almanac.
What 5 steps?
1, make the contact.
Yeah.
2, create interest in the product.
Yeah.
3, beat down the customer's sales resistance. 4, sell him the book. 5, take your fingers out of his buttonhole.
Look, Kenny, we haven't time.
Oh, so you're trying to make me lose a sale, huh?
I'm willing to buy an almanac. I'm just asking you to skip to step 4.
And be untrue to the Wide Awake Sales Corporation and its rituals?
All I want to do is buy an almanac without the steps.
Well, I'm sorry, but you can't buy it that way, and that's final.
Well, then I don't want it.
Now you're talking, brother. That brings me to step three. I got to beat down your sales resistance.
Oh, no.
Oh, let Kenny do his stuff, Mr. Allen. He sold one to Mr. Feinschreiber in four steps.
Fosdick Feinschreiber?
Uh-huh.
Who is standing in tonight for I. Goodman, bought an almanac?
He sure did. He's standing over there reading it now.
Jesus, here he comes.
The name of Fosdick Feinschreiber is being bandied about.
Brandied, he says. Mr. Feinschreiber, your English is so twisted, you could wear your tongue in a braid.
Do you like the almanac Kenny sold you, Mr. Feinschreiber?
What Feinschreiber is understanding, Feinschreiber is liking. So far, Feinschreiber is understanding nothing.
Well, what's so hard to understand in an almanac?
On this page, take a look. These figures maybe you can understand.
Why, this is perfectly simple, Mr. Feinschreiber. It's a chart. You see, it says here, April 18th, sunrise, 6:40.
Yeah, but what did he pay to place?
Mr. Feinschreiber, 6:40 is not a pari mutuel price, and this book is not a racing form.
But Kenny said...
Kenny, did you misrepresent your merchandise?
No, Mr. Allen. Mr. Feinschreiber himself said it was a racing form.
I said it was a racing form.
You sure did.
Now, quiet, quiet, both of you. Now, just what happened, Kenny?
Well, I showed Mr. Feinschreiber this almanac, and I said, how would you like to buy this?
And what did you say, Mr. Feinschreiber?
I, Feinschreiber, in all sincerity, said, this is a racing form.
There, he said it again.
Now, Kenny, that is a matter of inflection. And before you inflect any more of your salesmanship on us, once and for all, will you sell me an almanac?
I tell you, I can't
sell... I've got an idea, Mr. Allen.
What?
Maybe Mr. Feinschreiber will sell you his almanac.
He can't sell it. He doesn't know the four steps.
Never mind that. Well, Mr. Feinschreiber, what do you say? Will you sell me your almanac?
Well, they're pretty scarce, Bunny. They've been going like hotcakes.
Oh, brother, something tells me he doesn't need the four steps.
What steps? On 14th Street, I, Feinschreiber, sold off a stoop.
Mr. Feinschreiber, before you tear off my lapel, how much will you take for your almanac?
Well, I want to get home early. It's my last copy.
Hey, he's great.
Well, Mr. Feinschreiber...
I will turn my back. This will permit you to steal it for 75 cents.
But right on the cover of the almanac, it says, price 60 cents, pay no more.
So who is selling the cover? Feinschreiber is selling the book.
Now, listen, Mr. Feinschreiber... Your copy of the almanac has already... It's slightly used. Now, I don't intend to pay even 60 cents.
Why do you think I started at 75?
I'll give you 50.
I paid 60. My own brother couldn't get it from me for a penny under 60 cents.
Gee, Fosdick, your own brother?
My own brother, not for a penny under 60 cents. Oh, that is for me. Come in.
Hello, Fosdick.
Hello, Joe.
Say, Fosdick. For a penny less than 60 cents, can I get your almanac?
No.
Okay, so long, Foz.
So long, Joe.
And that?
That was my own brother.
This is the end. Before anything else happens, Master Baker, your next song is The Lost Chord. Will you sing it for 25 cents?
F.A., I wouldn't sing it for my own brother for a penny less than 30 cents.
Your own brother?
My own brother. Not for a penny less than 30 cents.
Don't open that door. I'll pay. I'll pay. I'll pay.
One day at the organ, I was weary and ill at ease, and my fingers wandered idly over the noisy keys. I know not what I perplexed meaning into one perfect peace and tremble away into silence as if it were loath to see. I have sought by seeking vainly that one lost God divine, which came from the fall of the organ and then put into mine. It may be the death right
ladies and gentlemen, I would like to start a new day.
A new day? You can't start a day at night.
Now, don't quibble, James. I meant I want to start a new kind of a day. A day like Mother's Day, Father's Day, and Eat a Prune Day, you know.
Oh. Now, what are you going to call this new day of yours, Fred?
Dud Day, Jimmy. A day dedicated to eradicating the duds from your life. Ladies and gentlemen, is your house cluttered up with World's Fair souvenirs, old Christmas cards, seashell collections, discarded snoods, nagging mothers-in-law, another obsolete and useless impedimenta, the scientific term for duds? Throw out your duds on Dud Day. There's no place in your life for duds.
That's absolutely right, Fred. Just as there's no place in gasoline for duds these wintry days. For in starting your car, you must depend on only a few ounces of chilled gasoline in your carburetor. And that small quantity of gasoline must come through with all of its energy if you're to get time and battery-saving starts. If it's handicapped by duds, slow starts, bucking and stalling, power waste are almost sure to result. But you don't get duds with Texaco Fire Chief gasoline. They're taken out, all out, by an important step in Texaco refining. You're getting only the lively, useful, quick-action elements in Fire Chief. That's why it gives you fast starts. Quick engine warm-up. So next time, try a Texaco dealer and famous Fire Chief. There's not a dud in a tank full.
And now the Texaco Workshop players. Noting the present popularity of medical novels and doctor photoplays, the Workshop players bow to the trend. Tonight they present a prophylactic potpourri called The Specialist Quandary, or when a bootlegger calls on a doctor, which is seeing whom about a case? Music, Fosdick.
In the annals of all medicine, no institution has risen to the homeopathic eminence enjoyed by the great Allen Clinic. For 20 years, medical men the world over have beaten the path Dr. Allen's malady marked, and never once has Dr. Allen failed to diagnose and cure any case that has baffled the greatest minds in medical science. In 1915, at the Far Rockaway surgery, the life of a little boy named Jessup was saved when Dr. Allen looked up from the operating table and said,
"The boy will live, intern."
Remarkable, Dr. Allen. 3 years ago, this boy swallowed a silver dollar.
Here is that silver dollar, intern. And here are 6 pennies I removed from his stomach as well.
But, Doctor, the boy only swallowed a dollar. What are those 6 cents?
The interest for 3 years at 2%.
In 1918, at a South Bend clinic, medical history was made during a Dr. Allen operation. Dr. Allen, proceeding with his uncanny care and skill, had said...
Scalpel, nurse.
Scalpel.
Clamp.
Clamp.
Ligature.
Ligature.
At this point, the dynamo failed. Every light in the hospital went out. Dr. Allen shouted...
Lights, lights.
The power's off, doctor. What shall I do?
Strike a match, nurse. Stick it between the patient's toes.
There you are, doctor.
Good. I will operate by the light from this hot foot.
In 1933, at the Alaskan Medical Convention, Dr. Allen explained his most amazing operation.
Members of the Alaskan Medical Board, I found this Eskimo boy, this tattered specimen, Ragu, dying on a snowdrift. Shouting for help, Ragu's tongue had been frozen stiff. In an emergency tongue-dectomy, I removed Ragu's tongue and epiglottis. I replaced them with those of a St. Bernard dog who happened to be passing. Today, Ragu stands before you, not only alive and well, but with his St. Bernard throat functioning perfectly. Say hello, Ragu.
Hello.
And now, in 1941, we find Dr. Alexis Allen back in the great Allen Clinic. Little does Dr. Allen suspect that today he will be confronted with the greatest crisis of his medical career. Dr. Allen, reeking of iodoform, chuckles as he enters in sanitary sanctum.
An antiseptic good morning, nurse.
Good morning, Dr. Allen.
Have my clinic reports come down?
They're right here.
What's this? 405 wants a menthol inhaler and a chiropodist.
405's that automobile case.
Oh, yes, the plastic patient. He lost the tip of his nose. I grafted a piece of his big toe on the end of his nostril.
That's why he wants the chiropodist.
Why?
He's got a soft corn on the end of his nose.
Yeah. The last plastic job I did, I grafted a piece of nose onto a toe.
What happened?
Every time the patient's toe sneezed, he had to take off his shoe to say Gesundheit. Who is this?
A patient, probably. I'll see. The doctor will see you, sir.
Thank you. Dr. Allen?
Yes. I'm very busy. Lie down. I'll examine you at once.
Tell me the worst, Doc.
Gad, you are a... Oh, you have a sunken chest, knocked knees, flat feet, hollow cheeks, twitching hands. You are a horrible, hopeless physical specimen.
Thanks, Doc. You're a pal. So long.
Just a minute. You are happy and you're a physical wreck. Why?
I'm on my way to the draft board. So long, Doc.
Let me see. What is my next appointment?
Dr. O'Brien is coming.
Dr. Mountbatten O'Brien? The great allergy specialist?
Yes, doctor. He's bringing an allergy case for consultation.
Good, I should... If that's Lionel Barrymore again, tell him he can't play with my stethoscope today.
Oh, no, it's Dr. O'Brien and patient waiting.
Good, show them in.
Yes, doctor. Dr. Allen will see you, Dr. O'Brien.
Oh, thank you. Dr. Allen?
Yes, excuse my rubber glove.
Dr. Allen, you've got to help me. My reputation in allergy circles is at stake.
What is the case?
The patient is my own brother. He has been seized with a violent allergy. It has taken the form of hiccuping.
Neck static, eh? An unusual allergy.
My brother is a concert violinist. He's playing at Carnegie Hall this afternoon. One hiccup will ruin his concert.
I will examine the patient, doctor.
Oh, good. My brother's right outside. I'll call him in. Yasha! Come in, Brother Yasha.
Yes. Here I am, brother.
Oh.
This is the great Dr. Allen, Yasha.
Excuse my other rubber glove, Yasha.
Help. Hello.
You see, Dr. Allen, some mysterious allergy has induced this chronic condition.
Yes, I... Oh.
You don't know what you're allergic to, Yasha.
No, every few minutes I... like that.
And this stomach percussion will jeopardize your violin concert today?
How can I play? I have my violin right here. Listen. Oh, dear. I'll be ruined.
Yes, it's terrible. Now, let me see. What allergy
I've
can...
tested Brother Yasha for everything. Pollen, chicken feathers, dill, pickled seeds.
I have it, doctor.
Huh?
He's allergic to hair.
Hair? Oh.
Yes, your own hair. That big, shaggy mane. We'll have to cut it off. It's your only hope.
Cut my hair off?
At once. Take these clippers, Dr. O'Brien. Escort Yasha into my operating room next door and get to work.
Yes, come, Brother Yasha.
Heavens, my head will look like a pale eggplant.
Poor fellow.
Yes, analogy is a curse, nurse. Oh, excuse me.
Heavens, have you caught that allergy?
No, it was just the calorie sounding taps over my breakfast, I guess. Who can this be? Come in.
Dr. Allen.
Yes?
You gotta help me, Doc. I overdone it.
You've overdone what?
I overdone saving box tops. Crummo box tops.
Well, what is Crummo?
It's that new breakfast food, Doc. The only breakfast food that contains hydrofepildol.
Oh, yes. Hydrofepildol. The new concentrated vitamin derivative that gives strength.
Yeah, that's it. I'm all hopped up with that hydrofepil stuff. I'm too strong.
Ridiculous.
I'll show you. I don't know my own strength. Look, I'll just squeeze your desk.
Good heavens, man. My desk is in splinters.
It's that hydrofepil doll. I'm full of it. This morning, I scratched me head. Me ear came off. And then I
go, hey, excuse me, I've got to sneeze.
Dad, you've blown out every window in the clinic. A little baby, blew them out.
You got to get this hydrofepildol out of me system, Doc. I'll kill somebody. I'm afraid to tie me necktie. I'll strangle myself.
Well, there's only one way to weaken you in a hurry.
Yeah, what do I got to do?
Read Superman every day for 30 days. Superman will give you an inferiority complex.
Thanks, Doc. So long.
Now, just a minute. Wait a minute. The door is over there.
I know, Doc. I'm taking a shortcut through the wall.
Dad, that's the most unusual case I have ever seen.
Well, Yasha's case is pretty unusual, if you're asking me.
Oh, yes, that reminds me.
It's no use, Dr. Allen. We've failed again.
You cut off Yasha's hair, Dr. O'Brien?
Yes, but it hasn't helped. Come in, Brother Yasha.
Yes, coming, brother.
Dad, his hiccups are getting worse.
You've got to do something, Dr. Allen.
Dr. Alexis Allen never fails. Yasha?
Yes.
I'll see about this allergy of yours. Are you allergic to nail polish?
No.
Are you allergic to breadcrumbs?
No.
Are you allergic to...
No.
Are you allergic?
No.
Allergic? 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 I've got it.
What is all this?
The case is solved, Dr. O'Brien. Your brother Yasha has been living with you, you say?
Yes.
You are an allergy specialist. Yasha has been hearing you use the word allergic morning, noon, and night.
You mean...
Exactly. Yasha has become allergic to the word allergic.
By Zimbalist, he's right. I can't stand the word allergic.
I told you.
Amazing. And the cure, Dr. Allen.
That word must never be used in Yasha's presence. That will stop his hiccups. Yasha must never even use the word himself.
You hear that, Yasha? Yes. Your violin career is saved.
Good.
Do you understand, Yasha?
Absolutely. I've taken oath. I hereby resolve never to say the word.
Be careful, Yasha.
I bet you thought I was going to say allergic.
Now, just a word from Larry Elliott.
The next few moments are devoted to the entire petroleum industry by the Texas Company. Americans have a special knack for giving things appropriate names, names which become a part of the language. And in that regard, it is interesting to note the name which the American public itself gave the country's gasoline and oil dealers, service stations. The name tells the story, a story known to every motorist who has ever stopped for air in the tires, water for the radiator, or for any of the many courtesies offered today in service stations.
Thank you, Larry, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us tonight. We're a little late. This is Fred Allen saying good night for the more than 45,000 Texaco dealers from coast to coast. Good night.
Columbia Broadcasting System.